Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. With your hosts being within driving distance to a branch of SeaWorld, we do get a real understanding of the size and power of this organization. It's a multi-billion dollar business, which at its essence relies on the captivity and abuse of large, intelligent sea mammals to generate huge ticket sales and profits. Regrettably, kids and their families still enjoy going to the shows and coming home with stuffed Shamu dolls and family photos. SeaWorld goes through great lengths to hide and deny the reality of what goes on behind its gates, in its tanks, and even in the seas. But once you take a few minutes and get acquainted with the readily available facts, that warm glow fades away. The facts now come even more clearly into view thanks to the new documentary Blackfish, which exposes and reveals important truths about the reprehensible business for all to see. It's been called a mesmerizing psychological thriller and searing and emotionally powerful. That's right ahead. Now, later in the hour, we will be hearing about an important and innovative program just launched in New York aimed at helping domestic violence victims, along with their companion animals, enter safe houses together. Now, I want to welcome to the program two key players in the new film Blackfish. And the momentum is certainly growing related to this one. First, we have director Gabriella Cowperthwaite. Welcome, Gabriella.
Nice to be here.
And also on the line, we have former SeaWorld trainer Samantha Berg. Hi, Sam.
Hi. Great to be here.
Gabriella, you elected to begin the film with the attack and killing of SeaWorld whale trainer Don Branchow. Was that the event that ignited your interest in making the film, or did it come about differently?
No, that was definitely it. I don't come from animal activism. I'm someone who used to go to SeaWorld. I took my kids to SeaWorld. I didn't know what was kind of brewing under the surface, as it were, there at SeaWorld. I was just confused by, you know, the tragic event of the killing of Don Branchow. I couldn't understand why a top SeaWorld trainer came to be killed by, a killer whale, an animal that I knew, you know, because of sort of pop information, had not killed a human being in the wild. So I didn't understand why that could have happened, and I kept reading about it. And, the more I found out, the more sort of shocked I became by what I discovered.
Mm. And how'd you go about getting the film made?
It starts with an idea. And usually, for documentarians, it's something you can't shake. And this was a story I couldn't shake. You know, again, as I said, the more I learned, the more shocked I became, and I just couldn't let it go. So, I wrote a treatment. I got in contact with a few people, one being Tim Zimmerman, who is a writer of Outside Magazine, and he wrote an article called Killer in the Pool, and I thought that was a very sort of revelatory article for me. And so I called him up, spoke to him, wondered if he wanted to come aboard as an associate producer. He had never done documentary before, so he was kind of my phone call, like, hey, you know, you wrote this great article. Is this a subject that interests you? Because, I'm about to head into, a minefield. And then I just started calling crew and people who might be interested in being, coming aboard. I called my producer and called a director of photography and just said, would you guys be willing to come aboard if and when I get funding? Which is always a big question. And so we met a couple investors about 5 or 6 months later who read my treatment and were interested in, funding kind of the first leg of it. And they had never done a documentary before. So I think that's kind of what that moment was really what started me on my road. I said, okay, now I got to do this.
Yeah. Now I want to get Samantha in on this. And Sam, you are prominently featured in Blackfish. Sam, how did you get involved with SeaWorld and what did you do there?
Well, I was a trainer at SeaWorld for 3.5 years. I worked there from February 1990 until August of 1993. And while I was there, I worked at all three of the animal stadiums that were there. This was SeaWorld of Orlando. So I worked at the Whale and Dolphin Stadium for about a year and a half. I worked at the Killer Whale Stadium, also known as Shamu Stadium, for a year. And then I worked at the Sea Lion and Otter Stadium for a year. And I actually happened to be at Shamu Stadium when Tilikum, the whale who killed Don Brancho, arrived from Sea Lion of the Pacific after killing Kelty Byrne, another trainer. That's Sea Lion of the Pacific's in Victoria. So he killed a trainer in 1991, and then he was moved to Shamu Stadium in Orlando in 1992. So anyway, I was an animal trainer there for 3.5 years. I actually went to school with an animal science degree as an undergrad, and I had planning on being a veterinarian and got sidetracked. And after 3.5 years, I left and I went on to other things.
And why did you leave?
There wasn't any one specific incident for me. Unlike some of the people in the movie, there wasn't one thing that really turned my stomach and had me leave. I saw some issues about the way animals were treated, and I questioned a lot of things. But because of my background, because I was an animal science major and I had a little bit more of a utilitarian sort of view on people and animals at the time, you know, I was there to do a job and the animals were there to do a job. So there wasn't a specific thing. What I felt like as a trainer that I couldn't do much more for the animals to give them a better life. So I thought if I went back to school and got a veterinary degree, or maybe I could go back to school and I could get a degree in perhaps facility design, given the behavioral knowledge that I got from being at SeaWorld, that I could do a better job to make the animals' lives better that way. So I actually expected to go back when I first left.
Gabriella, was it difficult to get other former trainers to come forward for the film? Did anyone refuse to be interviewed?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the folks who are in the film, like, you know, some of the strongest spokespeople are the former trainers. And some of them have already become vocal after the death of Don Brancho. They heard the spin that was coming out of SeaWorld at the time, and they knew that it didn't square with any of the experience and anything that they sort of smelled a rat, in other words, and so they became vocal in the media. And but there were also people who wanted to be interviewed and then, you know, very last minute decided not to be, and decided they just didn't feel safe. They felt that if they were going to speak out, they'd never work for a zoological institution ever again. And so there were people who backed out last minute.
How about the family of Don? They have been completely absent since their killing. Where are they now?
They're, spread throughout the country. They're a very loving family. I think they were they decided to be focused on what Don Brancho did in her life and not regurgitate that fateful day over and over again, which I think the media required would require them to do, which I would have required them to do, obviously, had they been really front and center in my film. So in a way, it's like I got in touch with them. They were probably the first people that I got in touch with in making the film. And I went to her run walk in Orlando and went to one in Indiana just to meet them, to let them know that I was doing this. And I very quickly understood that, Don was so loved by her friends and family that none of them felt that it was appropriate to really talk about her, in the film. Because, again, the film was focused on kind of, what went wrong and again, focused on that day. And they said, she lived 40 amazing years. And so they're focused on her charity work and kind of moving forward in a positive way.
Sam, looking back or drawing upon what you believe to be happening now, do you feel the trainers are subjected to deception as they are recruited and trained and employed by SeaWorld?
That's a really good question, and I've thought about that one a lot. And those of us who have left and have been out of the corporation, for 15 or 20 years, we see it as kind of like a cult-like atmosphere. There's a lot of belief that you have to sort of take on when you work there. One of the things that I see, first of all, when you start, I started in 1990, and I started for $7.50 an hour. So first of all, when you're doing that job, I think the public has a perception that somehow it's glamorous and you're well paid, but actually there's so many people in line for your job, and you're making very little money, so you really have to want to be there. So that's one thing, is that you can sort of pretend that things are not happening or not see things that you don't want to see because you really want to be there and want to do the job. And you know that if you refuse to do something, there's just another person in line to do your job. The other thing that I see there is that when accidents happen, and this is covered in Gabriella's movie very well, the atmosphere is basically blame the trainer. So when something happens, a mistake happens with an animal, the idea is that because of SeaWorld's training that the trainer should have been able to prevent it. It's not really presented as something that the animal did wrong. So the trainers feel often feel a little uncomfortable about reporting things that happen with the animals because they don't want to be seen at fault and they don't want to be removed from working with the animals that they love to work with. So it makes it a little bit challenging for information to get passed on, at least back when I was there. And from what I've heard, it really hasn't changed that much.
And we're going to delve more into that incident specifically right after the break. Don't go away. We're talking about the new film Blackfish right here on Animals Today.
That's the sound of a dog whose vocal cords were cut just to stifle her voice. It's called devocalization, and it's done to cats as well. Devocalized animals rasp and wheeze, cough and gag the rest of their lives. Some are rendered mute. And for what? So a commercial or hobby breeder can keep many animals without having to listen to them. So show dogs will be quiet in transit between shows or in the ring. So an irresponsible pet owner can leave a dog alone for hours every day. Animals Today joins with Coalition to Protect and Rescue Pets in saying shame on anyone who would have a dog or cat devocalized, and shame on the vets who perform this inhumane, unnecessary surgery for them. Please speak out against devocalization of dogs and cats. Use your voice. Protect theirs.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at AIAnimals.org.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Two cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually. In the U.S., on average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at AIAnimals.org. That's the letter A, I, animals.org.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. 866-657-8517. At Community Tax Relief, we help consumers like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, they will aggressively come after you. Protect yourself and your family today from what the IRS can do to you. Call now, 866-657-8517. They can freeze your bank account, even garnish your wages. Our expert team of tax professionals can solve your tax problems once and for all. Call now for a free 5-minute tax debt analysis. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517.
You hear that rattle, kid? That's an unbalanced condenser fan. That's bad. Unbalanced things break. Broken things cost money. Spending money leads to unbalanced budgets. That's why I like Grainger. They balance my needs with my budget. Grainger has counterweights, fan blades, motors, everything we need to keep this place humming. Not rattling, humming. The Grainger catalog in all its forms. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a Medicare member with diabetes, you may be confused over recent changes affecting where you can buy test strips. Don't worry. CVS Pharmacy continues to accept Medicare Part B coverage for diabetes testing supplies. Our stores carry all major brands and offer a 90-day supply at the same low Medicare copay as mail order. You may even qualify for a free OneTouch or CVS brand meter from the manufacturer. So stop by your local CVS Pharmacy today.
know, but I think I'll go and try dog mushing with an Eskimo in Alaska. Alaska, I think I'll try Alaska. Somewhere she could wait for me.
Hey, welcome back to Animals Today. We're speaking to Gabriella Cowperthwaite and Samantha Berg about the new film Blackfish. Samantha's a former trainer there. Sam, as you mentioned prior to the break, SeaWorld tends to blame the trainers for the accidents. What do you think? Did Dawn's actions contribute to her death?
At first, the report to the media was that a trainer had fallen in the water, and then once eyewitness reports contradicted that, the next thing that SeaWorld said was that Dawn let her ponytail drift into Tillicum's mouth, and then he just started to play with it, and he grabbed it so that it was play behavior. But, you know, that was one of the reasons why I actually came forward and started being vocal in the media, because I saw the pictures of Dawn lying in the slide-out area in front of Tillicum. And a slide-out is like a shallow ledge with about 8 to 12 inches of water in it, and she was just laying there face-to-face with Tillicum. And in the picture I saw, it's very likely that he already had her left arm in his mouth. So when I saw that and I heard the reports from SeaWorld and they were saying that Dawn had made a mistake and she'd allowed herself to get in this vulnerable position with Tillicum and that she'd been breaking protocol, I realized that wasn't true because I know the way things work at SeaWorld and I know that Dawn had had 16 years of experience. And so as a very senior person there, she would never have put herself in a position that she hadn't been in hundreds of times before, and she wouldn't have done things that other people had done. So I really felt that the way that, it was characterized, that she somehow made a mistake and let down her guard with this animal was not true. And the other thing is that I knew Tillicum's history at that point, and I knew that he'd killed two other people. So to me and actually several of the other former trainers in the film, we really felt like it was inevitable that Tillicum was going to, in fact,
right,
somebody else, and it was just a matter of time. So, no, I don't think that this was Dawn's fault.
How many orcas are in captivity around the world now, Sam?
There are 45 orcas around the world. SeaWorld owns a little bit more than half of them.
And where did they come from?
The film actually goes into that in a lot of detail on where they started. SeaWorld collected animals off the coast of the Salomon Islands. They actually really devastated the population of the southern residents in the Pacific Northwest. And then once they were kicked out of the state of Washington in the early 70s, they were kicked out. They went directly to Iceland and started collecting animals. And then they also used to collect animals they would get animals from other aquariums that collected animals from the drive fishery, so in Japan. So that's the one thing that's about SeaWorld is that when they describe their animals and they say that they have these animals living in their individual pods at the different stadiums, what they actually have is animals from all over the world that speak different dialects. You know, that's the way it was when they back in the 60s and 70s. Now, of course, now they have this captive breeding program using artificial insemination, and SeaWorld tries to create this as more humane than going and collecting animals in the wild. But one of the things the movie covers really well is that Tillicum, an animal who's been responsible for the death of three people, now 54% of the animals in SeaWorld's collection have his genes. So he's been used as their main breeding whale over the past 20 years, and he's been responsible for killing three people. So I would also say that the way that they do the artificial insemination, and that's again covered in the movie, it's pretty horrific for the animals. One of the trainers in the movie has described it as like an alien abduction. If you were just plucked off the surface of the earth and then forced to breed, it's very uncomfortable for the animals what they put them through. And the female whales in particular are breeding at ages where they would never breed in the wild. Normally, female killer whales would have a calf maybe starting around 15, 16 years old, and then every 5 years after that. SeaWorld starts breeding the animals when they're about 6 years old and maybe eight, and then as soon as they're ready, as soon as they cycle after having a calf, SeaWorld inseminates them again. They know exactly when they're going to go into estrus, and they make them have another calf. And so, what that leads to, unfortunately, is a lot of early deaths for the calves because the moms are so young, and they don't know how to be mothers, and they haven't learned from their mothers because they've been taken away from their moms at a young age. So it's a pretty awful cycle.
Oh, it's just horrible. And what's also so horrible, Gabriella, you show footage of whale hunters discussing their capturing of juvenile whales where they rip them away from their mothers, and decades later, there's still profound remorse. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. One of the things I knew right out of the gate about Blackfish, about the movie, was that it had to be, I had to talk to people who in some ways were, had skin in the game at some point. So I just think there's credibility to people like the former trainers who were, you know, complicit in some of the SeaWorld practices because, you know, they were young and bright-eyed. And I also felt that way about the captures. I didn't, I had heard everybody saying how horrible the Penco captures were, and I saw the footage. But I knew immediately when I saw that footage, we would need someone to ground us and put it in perspective because it looks like a cattle drive. You know, it's sort of like it's very uncomfortable. You know it's not good, but you don't quite understand what it is that's not what's not good about it. You know, you're sort of like the rings are going on the heads of the killer whales, and that's incredibly uncomfortable, and you know it's not good. And yet, because there's, you know, kind of a – because we can't read, I guess, killer whales in the same way we think we can read, like, let's say, a primate, you don't understand what's going on. Plus, so much is going on underneath the water. So I was like, I can't just show the Penco captures and think that I'm going to be, you know, describing or really doing justice to sort of how horrific that event was. So I went and found a gentleman by the name of John Crow. Someone had told me that he was involved in the captures, intimately involved. In fact, he had grabbed a whale and tried to capture it with his bare hands. But I was also told he had passed away. So I called every John Crow of a certain age bracket in Western Canada, and didn't find anyone. Started in Washington, and didn't find anyone. And finally, found a John Crow in Oregon, and he answered the phone. And I said, "Is this John Crow?" And he said, "What's left of him." So at that moment, I kind of figured I had the guy, and drove 14 hours to go for a 1-hour interview with him. For me, it was a game changer because he put all whale captures in perspective during his one interview. He described what it was like to know that they're sentient and know that they're intelligent while you're doing it.
Exactly. Sam, we only have 1 minute, so I want you to tell my listeners, what's your advice to those who want to do something about the industry of captive sea mammals for profit?
Just don't buy a ticket. Do not go to the shows. You can go to our website. Several of the former trainers have a website called Voice of the Orcas. It's a Google site. And we have a list of 10 action steps that you can take to change the situation for marine mammals and stop this practice of exploiting animals for entertainment. So don't buy a ticket. Pressure the parks to stop the breeding program and just start writing letters and letting your family know. Go see Blackfish and just see, get the sense of the truth of what really goes on behind the scenes so you're making an informed decision and you can decide if this is really an industry that you want to support.
See Blackfish, don't buy tickets, great advice. Gabriella Cowperthwaite, she's the director of this film, Blackfish. Samantha Berg, a former SeaWorld trainer, thank you so much for sharing your expertise and information about the movie on Animals Today.
Thank you for having us.
Don't go away. Next up, Animals and People News from New York City.
Someday, I'll drive to the airport, pick a flight, and just take off.
Someday, I'll have my own vineyard. Someday, I'll make it past the finish line of a marathon.
Someday, I'll drive my very own Mercedes-Benz.
Someday is today. With our certified pre-owned sales event going on right now, you can own the car of your dreams. And thanks to exceptional 1.99% financing on select models now through September 3rd, that dream is more attainable than ever. Each of our certified pre-owned vehicles undergoes an exhaustive process of analysis, inspection, and reconditioning until it meets the uncompromising standards of a Mercedes-Benz. Plus, every one is available with an optional extended limited warranty for up to 7 years or 135,000 total vehicle miles. And now, with 3 months of Sirius XM satellite radio.
Someday, I'll stop saying someday.
Hurry into the Mercedes-Benz pre-owned sales event. Only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. Visit today for exceptional financing.
So you're covered in sand up to your waist thanks to the excessive digging of two very ambitious children, and you think, wait, did I lock my Impala back in the parking lot? And normally you'd just sit and stew about it. But you live in a time when an OnStar app lets you control your car from nearly anywhere in your world, like it's some extremely remote control car, which it kind of is. So you tap the icon that zaps a signal that says to your car, boop, here's a signal to flip the mechanism that locks the door that sends a signal back to your phone to say, yes, your car is now safely locked. And you gotta wonder about the guy walking by when it happens. He's like, wow. And you're like, wow. And if you slow your brain for just a nanosecond, you realize just how amazing modern technology really is. All because you drive a Chevrolet Impala connected by OnStar. For details, availability, and system limitations, visit OnStar.com.
Jay Farner here, president of Quicken Loans. Right now, the rates on a 30-year mortgage are among the lowest that we've seen in decades. So we asked ourselves, what could be more perfect than that? Then we came up with the answer, the Amazing 5 Mortgage, exclusively from Quicken Loans. You see, with our Amazing 5 Mortgage, you get the best of both worlds. It has a low initial rate for the first 5 years, and it's a 30-year term. After the first 5 years, the rate may change once per year. It's perfect. The Amazing 5 Mortgage lets you take advantage of a super low mortgage rate for the first 5 years. That's five entire years, till the year 2018. Today's super low initial rate on our Amazing 5 Mortgage is all the way down to 2.875%, APR 3.01%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or visit us at quickenloans.com. The Amazing 5 Mortgage. One more way we're engineered to amaze.
Adjustable rate subject to change. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
75 years ago, the ballpoint pen was introduced. That happens to be around the same time that Geico started saving people money on their car insurance. All of a sudden, people had more money in their checkbooks to buy all kinds of things to make their lives better. And with all that extra money in their checkbooks, thank goodness they now had a ballpoint pen to sign all those checks.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Where's this one going?
I think Texas.
You know, I heard Saudi Arabia's next.
As demand grows for reliable, more efficient energy, Siemens is building advanced natural gas-powered turbines in North Carolina for use around the country and the world.
It's kind of cool. Everyone wants our turbines.
They keep ordering, I'll keep building.
Somewhere in America, answers for cleaner energy are happening right now. Siemens. Answers. Visit Siemens.com/answers.
If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129, 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129.
Welcome back. You're listening to Animals Today. Were you aware that our companion animals frequently become involved in situations of domestic abuse? In fact, nationally, more than 40% of domestic violence victims stay in abuse situations because they are fearful of what would happen to their pets if they left them behind. A root of the problem is that many shelters for domestic violence victims, in fact, most, do not accept companion animals. So what is a victim to do in this situation? Well, we are pleased to learn about a new pilot program being launched by New York's Urban Research Institute. And here to describe this important project is its president, Nathaniel Fields. Welcome to the program, Nathaniel.
Thank you, Dr. Laurie. Thank you so much for having me.
Nathaniel, describe the problems that arise concerning pets in domestic violent situations.
I would love to do that. Let me just tell you, just before I answer that, a little bit about Urban Resource Institute, URI. You know, we've been in the community for over 30 years, and we provide vital services, of course, to victims of domestic violence, but also to people living with developmental disabilities, as well as those challenged by addiction. But it's domestic violence where we have our deepest reach. And from right from our beginning, we always listen carefully to the needs of victims of domestic violence, putting them at the center of any kind of service plan, as well as national research and data. And with that, we moved forward and understood the problem. You talked about some alarming statistics as you began the show, that over 40% of individuals, people, victims of domestic violence, might stay in that relationship because they fear what would happen to their pet if they were to leave their pet behind. And those that did come into shelter, we know that over 70% talked about their pets being abused, threatened, in some cases killed. And with that, from my history of listening to the person served, to victims of domestic violence, to looking at the data, we realized that we needed to have an answer. We realized that URI needed to reduce obstacles for victims of domestic violence and often a silent victim of their pets and create an option. And we did that. We launched PALS, People and Animals Living Safely.
Mm. So is it very rare, Nathaniel, for facilities that accept victims of domestic violence to also permit them to bring along their companion animals?
And it's so rare that, you know, when you think, as a country, we really started to look at the needs of victims of domestic violence. But it's a new field, and we're learning more every day. In the United States, there are over 2,500 domestic violence shelters, and only 3 allow for co-sheltering. In New York City, one of the largest cities that provides services to victims of domestic violence, we have over 50 domestic violence emergency shelters. And before URI moved forward with PALS, not one of those shelters allowed for co-sheltering victims of domestic violence and their pets to live together. So it's extremely rare. This is groundbreaking work by URI to reduce barriers for victims of domestic violence and their pets.
Yeah, so with some partners and yourself, you've developed a pilot program to address this situation, which is fantastic. So describe it for us, please.
You know, we have deep expertise here at URI in providing rich services for victims of domestic violence. And in any time we take in and provide services to a new group, in this case pets, we want to ensure that we are able to provide the most effective services. So our work included talking to national experts and on the ground here in New York City to form alliances. And we have a great relationship with the Mayor's Alliance for New York City Animals. We have deep expertise and providing DV services, and they have deep expertise in working with animals. And together, we launched a pilot. And a pilot looks like this. We started a few months ago in June accepting small animals. We outfitted our largest domestic violence shelter in Brooklyn with 10 apartments to begin to accept small animals, rabbits, cats, small animals. And our goal is to make sure we are studying the problem, that we're providing the best possible services. And in December, we plan to move forward with the pilot and start to take other animals like dogs. A lot of work is still going into the project. As you can imagine, shelters were really developed for people, children and adults. And so when you take in a new group like pets, a work had to be done to those apartments, and we're still retrofitting our shelter. We plan to, out of those 10 apartments, when we start to take dogs in December, also create some outside area, because we know victims of domestic violence, they're often in hiding in a new community, and when they have dogs, they're going to need to go outside. So we're building a dog run, retrofitting the apartments even more so to include soundproofing and ensuring that all the safety, like window screens, materials are in those apartments. So this is a big initiative, and that's why we're at URI. We're going to continue to move forward. Our goal is to move to 10 apartments, open up the rest of our shelters in New York City, replicating this model with the data from the pilot, because every shelter, I believe, should be able to take people and animals. But, you know, the goal is to raise money to be able to do that. We have a $250,000 initiative to ensure that we can build out in all 4 of our shelters.
That sounds fantastic. Nathaniel Fields, you're the president of this project, correct?
Correct.
And so there will be a challenge when you begin taking dogs in December, you said?
That is correct. We plan to take dogs in December.
Okay. Anything else you want to tell my listeners about your pilot project?
You know, it's an exciting project, and it's so important. I mean, when you start to look at power and control, every member of the family is used to by that perpetrator to control that family. And you hear such horrible stories. You know, this is such a serious issue, and often the domestic violence community and the pet community try to resolve it by doing it separately. Our goal is to bring the communities together because, again, pets are often the silent victims. I've heard from one victim where she was being abused and threatened and controlled that the perpetrator would use her pet, her small puppy, as a way to control her, often trying to choke the puppy in front of her and until he was able to get from her what he wanted to do. And silent victims, like pets, also need protection. And so our work is to answer that particular issue by building enough apartments in New York City where individuals can be co-sheltered. We also want to talk about, there's a lot of information on our website at urinyc.org, where if someone goes to our website, they can learn about, receive some tips. For instance, 25 states in our country allows for pets to be put on orders of protection. And so that's very helpful because, as we know, we are always trying to work with individuals to keep themselves and their pets and their whole family safe. So we encourage individuals to go to our website at urinyc.org, learn about what I've just talked about and other tips that are available to increase their safety and reduce their risk.
You know, that's really great advice, Nathaniel. In my experience, just by talking to people, there's people really don't know about this strong connection between animal abuse and human violence. And once you start talking about them, they say, "Oh yeah, I guess that does make sense." Do you find that too?
It's so, Dr. Laura, you're right on target with that. It's such a need around increasing awareness of domestic violence as it relates to pets also. And we know from all the data that if someone is exposed, directly impacted by abuse, they're likely, if we don't provide services, to have undesirable behaviors like abuse also. And we don't want individuals to continue with cycles in terms of abusing others or abusing pets. So a lot of this is around education and creating resources to break cycles of domestic violence and pet abuse also. So I'm hoping your listeners will go to our website and support URI because this is such a very important initiative.
Nathaniel Fields, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Peter.
Lori.
Were you listening to that interview?
I was. Very, very good stuff.
Great program.
And innovative.
Yeah.
Important. We've been wondering how to deal with this huge problem, even around the country. We know locally it's an issue, and so he really brought out the fact how few of these co-sheltering opportunities there are.
Yeah.
So good for him.
I know. It's great.
Yeah.
So what do you want to talk about next segment? You have some great news items for us. I know one of them that... One news item we have to talk about, which is probably the biggest pet animal news this past few days, right?
It's the tragic killing.
Tragic. Terrible.
In Canada.
Okay, so you'll give us a rundown on that?
You bet.
Okay, hope you have some good news for us, too.
It's hard to make good news out of that story, but at least I'll give you some facts.
Well, I meant good news in addition to that.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so don't go away. We're going to speak more with Peter and learn about what's happened in the news.
Their fancy cars and their limousines, built high in the Rockies, under the evergreens. I know what I'm needing, and I don't want to waste more time. I'm in a New York state of mind.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for listening to Animals Today. Make sure to visit us on animalstodayradio.com, where you will see all our previous shows, and you can download them free. That's animalstodayradio.com. Also, make sure to become a friend on Facebook. Animals Today gets a lot of its support from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at aianimals.org. And I hope you'll consider making a donation to help pay for the ongoing broadcast of Animals Today. Each week on Animals Today, we strive to bring you the highest quality, most up-to-date information about all animal welfare topics, and we certainly would appreciate your support. That website, again, is aianimals.org. And thanks for listening.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org. That's the letter A, I, animals.org.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. 866-657-8517. At Community Tax Relief, we help consumers like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, they will aggressively come after you. Protect yourself and your family today from what the IRS can do to you. Call now, 866-657-8517. They can freeze your bank account, even garnish your wages. Our expert team of tax professionals can solve your tax problems once and for all. Call now for a free 5-minute tax debt analysis. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517.
If you're a Medicare member with diabetes, you may be confused over recent changes affecting where you can buy test strips. Don't worry. CVS Pharmacy continues to accept Medicare Part B coverage for diabetes testing supplies. Our stores carry all major brands and offer a 90-day supply at the same low Medicare copay as mail order. You may even qualify for a free OneTouch or CVS brand meter from the manufacturer. So stop by your local CVS Pharmacy today.
When you booked with Booking.com, did you expect this?
Caviar.
Somewhere 10 times better than anywhere you've ever lived or will ever live?
Chic.
Look at the Booking pool. You don't have a pool. You don't even have a bath.
French stuff.
Spin around in the spaciousness that's not your 32-square-foot apartment because you have arrived.
Helicopter.
In your dream getaway, which you chose from over 300,000 properties on planet Earth's number one accommodation site, Booking.com. Booking.com. Yeah.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Hi, Peter.
Lori.
So I have a feeling I know what we're going to talk about, animals in the news this segment, huh?
Well, yes, the tragic story of two young boys who were asphyxiated, it turns out, by a very large African rock python in New Brunswick, Canada, occurred a few days ago. And the it just gets weirder and weirder as we learn more. So the boys were sleeping over, not even in their house, at an apartment of a friend of the owner of this pet store. And the pet store owner had a personal pet, which was this snake. The snake is enclosed in a custom enclosure. It's long and nasty, and the enclosure apparently is in continuity with the ceiling. And overnight, the snake, as they're piecing this together, and the investigation is still ongoing, gets into the ceiling, gets into the ductwork, travels some distance, and then falls out through the ceiling into the bedroom where these boys are sleeping.
Oh, my God.
And crashes into the ground, and then the next morning, the boys are found dead, and the snake is found in that area. And
how long was the snake?
The snake is about 13 feet long.
And do you know how many pounds?
And yes, about 100 pounds.
And how old were the boys?
The boys are young. One was 4, one was 7.
Yeah.
And they were asphyxiated in their sleep, it appears. They need to reconstruct this. Of course, the snake was euthanized by a vet, local vet. And the town obviously is in shock. The whole world is in shock that this could happen, and that it still happens. There's some interesting history. The pet store owner probably did not have the proper license for this snake. Certainly, it's too large to sell in the pet store, so he was claiming that it was his personal pet. And even so, it probably was too large or not registered. So we're trying to get information about what the local ordinances are regarding whether he was allowed to have this at all. But either way, haven't you heard this story dozens of times again? Custom enclosure, animal escapes. I mean,
yes.
I mean, these homemade things, they
well, you shouldn't
so
even have exotic pets, period.
Okay, so let's talk about that.
No exotic pets.
Because my take on a lot of the commentary has focused on this, be careful if you have exotic pets line of thinking.
Exactly.
And it sort of ends there. And be careful. Well, how careful can you be? You know, and why do you want to have a deadly, potentially deadly animal? I mean, this guy also had alligators or crocodiles in his pet store. There's going to be more coming out about that, too. Probably had a whole bunch of animals he should not have there. And so there you go. If you're going to have them, be careful.
So you're saying the message by these experts that we see on TV being interviewed, they're saying the message is, if you have exotic pets, please be careful. The message should be, don't have exotic pets.
That's right.
It's cruel for the animals. It always ends up bad for the people.
That's right.
Right.
And, you know, how do you ensure that an animal stays put? For instance, I just have this other story from just a few weeks ago in Washington's Smithsonian National Zoo. They lost track of one of their little red pandas. The panda escaped his enclosure. He was named Rusty. He just turned 1 year, and he was found missing. So he was believed to have scaled a fence and electric wires designed to keep him inside. Fortunately, was found in good health a few hours later. But even the National Zoo can't safely protect their own little panda.
And this happens often. We hear about these stories all the time.
So if the National Zoo, why should a guy with a huge snake be expected to be able to control it?
So, yeah.
So what this expectation is way off base. We just have to change that thinking. And now a couple of things, just one more point about the law. In Ontario, we're finding out there's a patchwork of local ordinances to deal with exotic and dangerous animals, and they really need to fix that.
Right.
Right. But it's a huge regulatory problem. For instance, what's going to be allowed, what's not allowed? You know, what sizes, what permits are going to be allowed? But truly, why should 13-foot potential deadly snake be a pet anywhere.
So in any and all cases, this guy is liable, correct? And will he be charged?
Well,
or does it depend on if he shouldn't have had a 13-foot snake? It should be less than, 11 feet? Or does it depend on if he broke some of these ordinances and laws?
Yeah. Well, being the amateur lawyer that I am, I will tell you the news, the reporting is still trying to figure out what the laws are there and what his culpability would be.
Yeah.
But to me, regardless, at least in the States, some sort of involuntary manslaughter charge would be appropriate.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But what ignorance and what this thrill that some men, mostly men, I guess some women, get out of living among and having these reptiles, the big ones, is just bizarre to me. I just wish we could figure out what to do with these guys.
Yeah.
And it's just not a healthy thing. And I'm a live and let live guy. But when these dangerous animals are concerned, who don't want to be in the enclosures and then can hurt someone, it just doesn't make sense to
me. It's such a sad story. It is so sad.
Yeah.
But we'll be anxious to hear updates from you in the following weeks.
Okay.
Anything else? Any good news you want to share?
One piece of great news.
Okay.
And that is, the Georgia Aquarium was trying to get a permit to get a bunch of beluga whales from Russia, which
yeah.
have been captured and rounded up. And they received, NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, received about 9,000 public comments. Many of them, most of them, against bringing the whales into captivity, and they relented, so the Georgia Aquarium cannot accept these beluga whales.
Great news. So, well, they're still not out of the woods yet, though, right?
Well, that's where we stand now. I the Georgia Aquariums are pretty powerful,
yeah.
so they're going to keep on trying
right.
to get those little cute baby belugas so they can sell more baby beluga dolls.
Right, right. Well, thanks, Peter.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening to Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.
The opinions you hear on the Business Talk Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of this station, Business Talk Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Business Talk Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Investing involves risks, so please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about the Business Talk Radio Network, contact us at 203-323-7300 or at our website, businesstalkradio.net.
IRN USA Radio News. I'm Cameron Swayze. Word in of a developing story, San Francisco Bay Area commuters got a reprieve on Sunday from a potential transit strike when a judge on Sunday granted California Governor Jerry Brown's request for a 60-day cooling-off period in negotiations between the Bay Area Rapid Transit Agency and two of its largest unions. San Francisco Superior Court Judge Curtis Karnow ordered the unions and BART not to threaten or engage in a strike through midnight on October the 10th, and BART and the two unions are expected to continue negotiations while the injunction is in place. During an unusual Sunday morning court session before the order was issued, Karnow said the hearing had nothing to do with the merits of the contract dispute between the two sides, and attorneys of the two sides did not object to the formal injunction. This is IRN USA Radio Network News.
Today, most people are more likely to get a pay cut than a cost of living raise. But I have good news for you. You can build your own golden parachute. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby, and I think you'll find that the three-step plan home business system is a great solution to money worries. With a three-step plan home business, you can add to your income in your spare time. Many build their businesses into a full-time income that earns more than a regular job. That's a pretty good financial backup plan, don't you think? After all these years of hearing about us, you know that we have helped a lot of people earn extra money. We could help you too. The three-step plan home business system is better than a parachute because we'll never leave you out there hanging. We'll train you and show you how to use the telephone and email to make money from home. Don't just worry about money. Do something about it. To find out how you could start making more money working from home, go to 3stepusa.com or call 800-480-2102.
An attorney for the father of Edward Snowden said Sunday that they have obtained visas to visit Russia, and they will do so soon to discuss Snowden's possible return to the United States to face criminal charges. Snowden was also critical of the measures the president announced on Friday to reform the way the federal government conducts surveillance. A California teenager missing for more than a week after she was abducted by a man suspected of killing her mother and brother has been rescued or captor killed, and a reunion with her father was expected Sunday at an Idaho hospital. But for law enforcement investigating the ordeal, there is a lot of work that needs to be done. Hannah Anderson appeared to be uninjured and was taken to an Idaho hospital where crisis counselors and health care providers are assisting her. And according to the sheriff's department, her father expected to arrive in Idaho to be reunited with her. This is IRN USA Radio News.
Attention homeowners. The Obama administration is pressuring lenders to do more to prevent foreclosure with its Home Affordability and Stability Plan. If you own a home and you're having trouble making your payments or facing foreclosure, we can help. Call the National Mortgage Helpline at 800-538-6780. We now have the ability to stop foreclosure proceedings. Forgive late payments and penalties. If you're having trouble paying your mortgage, call the National Mortgage Helpline today at 800-538-6780.
Bahrain says it has deported a U.S. citizen teaching there over her